fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome to the show. It is Wednesday, and a wonderful Wednesday to all of you. It is October the 5th, Stardate 2022. I'm not even a big Star Trek guy. I don't know about you, although I did watch the old William Shatner stuff when I was a kid. I did like those. 888-914-9149. I didn't really like the way he looked in Wrath of Khan. Did he wear like a wig in those ones? I don't know. Anyways, 888-914-9149 is the number to call to talk to me for free. It's Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, and we're going to take you on a journey through the stars and beyond into the realm of the afterlife and mystical journeys of saints. They happen, and today's saint, St. Faustina Kowalska, who of course is the Apostle of Divine Mercy, we're going to talk about seven things that she revealed about the reality of hell. And this is not to scare anyone or anything like that, but it makes divine mercy even more magnificent when we realize the full extent of what Jesus is saving us from. So we'll talk about seven things that she revealed in her diary and from her tour that she was given, if you will, of the underworld. Once again, that number to call, 888-914-9149 for the Cale Clark Show studio line on Relevant Radio. You can also email the program, Cale, C-A-L-E, at relevantradio.com. And you can follow me on Twitter, at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. And as you know, this is not a coincidence. I don't think there's never any coincidences in God's timing, but today is also, our Jewish friends are celebrating Yom Kippur today, the Day of Atonement. I think it's very intriguing that today is also the feast of St. Faustina Kowalska, the Apostle of Divine Mercy, and that's really what it's all about. The atonement, at-one-ment, if you will, how we get reconciled to God. And I've told you about how I got fired from a speaking gig that I had, a long-time speaking gig I had years ago where I was brought in every year at a Catholic high school called St. Jean de Brebeuf High School, and of course named for one of the North American martyrs. We call them the Canadian martyrs in Canada, and they're called the North American martyrs everywhere else. And of course he was one of the Jesuit missionaries to North America who was martyred, and incredibly brave man, an incredibly poignant story. And when their feast day comes along, I'll be talking about him a little bit more, along with his companion, St. Isaac Jogues, Gabriel Allemont, and all the others that were martyred in North America trying to evangelize. And so I was speaking to these grade 10 guys, and that was my thing. I'd speak to the grade 10 boys every year, and I would talk to them about theology of the body because they were dealing with all this stuff, as you can imagine. And I would also talk to them about, you know, the need for confession, the wages of sin, and I would talk to them about the afterlife. I would talk to them about heaven. I would talk to them about hell, not to scare them or anything like that. But I find that young people, they're interested in talking about this stuff. It captures their imagination and it gets them intrigued. Adults too. Adults like talking about this stuff too. Like, and maybe that's not a great sign at one level that people are interested in things like demons, the underworld. But we do know this, St. Faustina did reveal some things about all of this stuff that I want to share with you in her diary. And the reason why I got fired, just to finish that story, was because as I was telling the kids about this, I was sharing St. Faustina's visions from her supernatural tour of hell. And there was this one kid in the back who was sleeping. He was sleeping during my entire presentation. Can you believe? Who could possibly fall asleep while listening to me, right? Well, hopefully that's not you, and hopefully you're not behind the wheel as that's happening to you, but maybe you're listening to the podcast later. Maybe you listen to it at night, because we put out all these shows as podcasts, of course, here on Relevant Radio. Maybe you stay away from the NyQuil, you just put on my podcast at night. But anyways, this is what happened to this young guy. I don't know, he was maybe about 15 years old or so, and he was just kind of, at first I thought he was praying because his head was down. He was just like so moved by my talk, he was praying, but I realized, oh, he's snoozing. I was like, okay, well, like a lot of teens, maybe stayed up till 2 in the morning playing Xbox on a school night. I don't know. So he woke up during the time when I was talking about St. Faustina's visions of hell. He totally missed the part where I was talking about divine mercy, God's forgiveness, all that stuff. He missed that. So he only heard the bad news part of the gospel, if you will. And so now he didn't say anything to me. He didn't betray any uncomfortability. He didn't betray any discomfort of any kind. He never complained. He never asked me any questions about it. He just kind of sat there, and you never know what's going on inside, right? And apparently he went home, and his dad asked him, "Hey, how was the retreat talk today by Clark?" "It was terrible, Dad. It was awful." "Why? He talked to us about all this stuff," and he kind of laid it all out there. And his dad absolutely blew his top. He called the school, complained about me to the director of religious education, to the principal, anybody who would listen. And he said, "I heard you hired a speaker that talked to the kids today about hell. Don't you know that the church got rid of hell with Vatican II? Don't you know that the church..." Really? Well, that's interesting. So it turned out that the dad was an ex-priest who had left the priesthood. I don't want to speculate what, you know, maybe he had theological doubts. I don't know. He clearly didn't buy into the doctrine of hell, that's for sure. And unfortunately, the school didn't back me up, and they canned me. They said, "You're not welcome here anymore." All right, okay. It's not the first time I've been kicked out of something, and probably won't be the last either. But I just thought, oh, that was sad. But at any rate, I will share this with you as well. And who knows? I might not have a job tomorrow. We'll see how that goes. But we'll risk it. We'll risk it together. No risk it, no biscuit, right? As Bruce Arians likes to say. So let me share with you seven things that you need to understand about St. Faustina, her harrowing tour of hell. Now, let me just give you some background on St. Faustina. And Drew talks about her, of course, on the Drew Mariani Show all the time. He wrote a book about divine mercy. He is really into spreading this devotion. So you probably know all this already, especially if you listen to Drew on the regular and you've hung around for my show. And I thank you for that. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 888-914-9149. Now, her actual given name, St. Faustina's given name, was actually Helena. And she was born in Poland, Helena Kowalska, on August the 25th in the year 1905. And she actually died on this day in 1938. So it's her heavenly birthday, if you will. And she was canonized, made a saint, by St. John Paul II, who had a huge devotion to divine mercy and her cause. She was canonized on April the 30th in the year 2000. So one of the first saints of the new millennium. Now, she did not intend to enter the religious life when she was young. And in fact, she had this major conversion experience. If you know about her life, you've probably heard of this. When she was a teenager, when she was 19 years old, she was with her sister. Her sister's name was Natalia, and she went to a dance. She was at a dance, and it was an outdoor dance of some sort in this town, and she was there with all these other kids, and I guess they were kind of whooping it up. And all of a sudden, she had a vision of Jesus, as he was suffering on the cross. And Jesus asked her in this mystical vision, this kind of locution, if you will, Jesus asked her, "How long shall I put up with you? And how long will you keep putting me off?" Wow. So that, you don't want to hear that from the Lord. "How long shall I put up with you?" You know, this kind of conjures up some of the sayings of Jesus in the gospel. You know, wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, you know. How long shall I put up with you? So how long shall I put up with you, and how long will you keep putting me off? And this really, as you might expect, this arrested her attention. And so she went immediately to the cathedral and she prayed. And after this, she left for Warsaw. She began her journey into the religious life. She joined the Sisters of Our Lady of Mercy. And when she was only 20 years old, there's just a few months after this happened, on April the 30th in the year 1926, that's when she got her habit, and that's where she received her religious name, St. Faustina, Sister Faustina. Well, she wasn't a saint at that point, but of course, saint in process. Hopefully we all are. And there was that fateful night, of course, which was Sunday, February 22nd in the year 1931. She was in her, what's called her cell, and that's a small room where she lived as a sister. and she had this vision of Jesus. Now, she had had tuberculosis. She had just recovered from TB, and Jesus appeared to her, and he was just, as you might expect, in the image of divine mercy. Of course, there's that painting that was commissioned, and there's sort of a couple of versions of, and people argue about that, which one is the legit way that Jesus looked when he appeared to her, but Jesus appeared wearing a white robe, red rays, and blue rays coming out of his heart. And that, of course, represents blood and water, the sacraments of the church, Eucharist, baptism, the grace is flowing from his heart. And in her diary, Divine Mercy in My Soul, she writes this, Jesus told her to, quote, paint an image according to the pattern you see. With this signature, Jesus, I trust in you. And of course, it was in Polish, but that was to be put at the bottom of the image. And Jesus said, quote, I desire that this image be venerated first in your chapel and then throughout the world. I promise that the soul that will venerate this image will not perish. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about the vision that she saw of hell. And this happened in October of 1936. And you can read about this, by the way, in her diary. She writes about this, and I'll give you the citations in a minute. But in October of 1936, she was making a retreat. It was actually an eight-day retreat. And she somehow had this mystical experience where an angel led her to what she called the chasms of hell. The chasms of hell. And she was shown kind of different levels of suffering in hell. And I do think that's a biblical concept. I think there are different levels of beatitude or blessing or rewards in the afterlife for the good, the bad, and the ugly. I think there are different punishments in hell as well. And for example, a mass murderer, a genocidal maniac, somebody like Hitler, probably deserves worse punishment, assuming they don't repent, than sort of the guy down the street. He's a pretty good dude, but he just never got around to going to confession, and he's got mortal sin, and God will judge everything fairly, of course. So, all right, let me share with you what she wrote about this after these visions happened. And you can read about this in her diary, number 741. And here's what she said. I, Sister Faustina Kowalska, by the order of God, have visited the abysses of hell so that I might tell souls about it and testify to its existence. The devils were full of hatred for me, but they had to obey me at the command of God. What I have written is but a pale shadow of the things I saw, but I noticed one thing, that most of the souls there are those who disbelieved that there is a hell. End of quote. So that's an important point as well. And it kind of reminds me of a line from, I use this a lot, from one of my favorite movies, The Usual Suspects, came out years and years ago in the 90s. Kevin Spacey, before his career imploded, and he made a lot of terrible decisions and sinful choices. But having said that, he plays this character who says, his name is Verbal Kint in the movie, but he's also someone else. I won't spoil it for you, but great flick. The last minute of the movie makes the entire movie. But he says the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world that he doesn't exist. So he's not going to come at you in a Halloween costume when we're getting close to All Hallows Eve. He's not going to come out there with a pitchfork and a red cape and little horns on his head. He's very content just to leave you be as long as you're not concerned about the eternal state of your soul. If you're in a state of mortal, he's just content to anesthetize you, if you will. Anyway, so let me just read to you a couple more quotes from St. Faustina's diary. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 888-914-9149. It's feast day of St. Faustina Kowalska, the Apostle of Divine Mercy. So here's what she wrote about the different tortures, the seven tortures of hell. She says, quote, today I was led by an angel to the chasms of hell. It is a place of great torture. How awesomely large and extensive it is. The kinds of tortures I saw, and then she lists them. The first torture that constitutes hell is the loss of God. The loss of God. And it always reminds me of something Peter Kraft once said, who's a friend of the program. He's come on before, and He says, imagine if somebody could give you all the treasures of the world. It's a little bit like what Jesus says in the gospel. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? One soul is worth more than the entire created world. Imagine if you could be given your heart's anything that you want or that you think you want, which won't necessarily make you happy. But here's the catch. You will never, ever, ever see the face of God. Now, Crave says that should send a chill down your spine even when I say that, because that is the first torture that constitutes hell, according to St. Faustina, the loss of God. You will never, ever get to heaven, and you know that. There's no way out. There is no second chance. Purgatory is not a second chance. Everyone who's in purgatory is going to heaven. We talked about purgatory a few days ago. It's the mud room of heaven where you need to get cleaned up, but there are only two destinations. The second one is, according to Sister Faustina, the second torture that constitutes hell is perpetual remorse of conscience, with no chance for confession at that point. The third is, she says, that one's condition will never change. And again, it's like the parable that Jesus told on Luke chapter 16, the rich man and Lazarus, which was the Sunday gospel recently, when Lazarus, the poor man, is now in paradise at Abraham's side, and he says to the rich man, there's a great chasm that's been fixed between you and us. No one can pass from here to there or from there to here. The fourth torture that constitutes hell, according to St. Faustina, is the fire that will penetrate the soul without destroying it, a terrible suffering since it is a purely spiritual fire lit by God's anger. The fifth torture is continual darkness and a terrible suffocating smell. And despite the darkness, the devils and the souls of the damned see each other and all the evil, both of others and their own. The sixth torture is the constant company of Satan. The seventh torture is horrible despair, hatred of God, vile words, curses, and blasphemies. These are the tortures suffered by all the damned together, but that is not the end of the sufferings. Believe it or not, it gets worse. And I just read a couple more little things here, and that's probably enough. She says, quote, there are special tortures destined for particular souls. These are the torments of the senses. Each soul undergoes terrible and indescribable sufferings related to the manner in which it has sinned. End of quote. I thought this one was intriguing because I remember taking a course in my grad studies on apocalyptic literature. Like the Book of Revelation is an apocalypse, but there are other apocalyptic writings from the time between the two testaments, Jewish writings that Jesus would have known about, the Book of Enoch, for example, books like that. And they often feature supernatural journeys where the visionary gets a supernatural tour. And that's kind of what happened to St. Faustina. In the Apocalypse, in the Book of Revelation, in the Bible, John gets this supernatural tour where he gets a tour of heaven and cool things happen. An angel shows him around. And we see this in a lot of the writings. But I remember when I was reading about these apocalyptic writings and a lot of the more famous ones, and again, this isn't scripture necessarily, but they will talk about stuff like this in the afterlife, the punishments people suffering related to the manner in which they sin. So I remember reading about, for example, liars are like strung up by their tongues or whatever in hell. They're pictured as that in these apocalyptic writings. And that's an example of suffering in the senses in which you sinned. Obviously, those who sinned, sexually, I don't want to talk about that, but you can imagine. So it's kind of intriguing that she says that. Now, I don't know if she was aware of any of that stuff. And I'm not saying it's sacred scripture. Even St. Faustina's vision, this is private revelation, okay? So you could say, I don't buy any of this stuff, Cale. Yeah, I know she's a saint, but I don't buy this. I don't buy her vision. But you do have to hold. You, unlike this dad, the ex-priest dad that I, whose son slept through my talk, shame on him. You do have to hold the Catholic faith, the doctrine of an eternal hell. It's part of the deposit of faith. It's a dogma of the church. And so Vatican II, unfortunately, did not do away with it. Not that it could ever do. The church tells us what reality is actually like. We can't change the deal here. So that's one thing that she says. Here's one last thing. She says, quote, "I would have died." She said, "There are caverns and pits of torture where one form of agony differs from another. I would have died at the very sight of these tortures if the omnipotence of God had not supported me." End of quote. That sounds an awful lot like another very famous private revelation, the three seers of Fatima, the three children. Same thing happened to them when Our Lady kind of peeled back the curtain and showed them souls suffering in hell. This is why you need to pray. This is why you need to pray the rosary really well. This is the month of the rosary right now that we're in October. And I encourage all of you to participate in the Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky, which is coming up later this evening. And you can do that along with Our Lady. And so she peeled back the curtain. They were able to look into the unfathomable horrors of hell. And these children, they said, like Sister Lucia said, we would have died right there on the spot of the fright, of the fear, if she had not told us, if the lady had not told us, don't worry, you're going to make it. You're going to heaven. Now, Francesco needs to brush up on his rosary a little bit, but you need to pray more, but you're going to make it. Don't freak out, okay? But you do need to pray, because unfortunate souls fall into hell every single day. And this is something that St. Jose Maria Escrivá said. When you see the leaves falling from the trees, as the fall turns into winter, and we're kind of in that season now, you're seeing the foliage change. He said, as leaves fall to the ground every day, like that, every day souls fall into eternity. And one day the falling leaf will be you. One day the falling leaf will be you. That's a sobering reminder, the brevity of life. And so just one last thing. She says, quote, St. Faustina talking, "Let the sinner know that he will be tortured throughout all eternity in those senses which he made use of to sin. I am writing this at the command of God, so that no soul may find an excuse by saying there is no hell, or that nobody's ever been there, and so no one can say what it is like, how terribly souls suffer there. Consequently, I pray even more fervently for the conversion of sinners. I incessantly plead God's mercy upon them. Oh, my Jesus, I would rather be in agony until the end of the world amidst the greatest sufferings than offend you by the least sin." So once again, that comes from her diary, Divine Mercy in My Soul, number 741. So that is definitely the bad news side of the equation. But there is the good news. That is why divine mercy should be attractive to us. We should be running to it every chance that we get, saying, "Jesus, I trust you," because this is his greatest attribute, not his omnipotence, not his creative power. It's his mercy. We're going to talk more about some of the merciful things that Jesus said to her, lest you be overwhelmed by this, right after the break. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 888-914-9149. Be right back. The Relevant Radio studio line is sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters Flexible Premium Life Insurance. For less than $12 a month, a 40-year-old can get $500,000 of coverage. Go to relevantradio.com/forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
Helping you keep your mind off traffic and on the more important things in life. It's Cale Clark on Relevant Radio.
We're definitely talking about one of the more important things in life, how to avoid eternal separation from God, according to St. Faustina. If you missed that, her mystical tour of hell, we talked about this before the break. You can check the podcast later. It should be out just a few minutes after the show. We talked about the seven things that St. Faustina, today's saint, revealed about hell. She got a supernatural tour of heaven as well. And you can read about that in her diary. 888-914-9149 is the number to call right now. We have some open phone lines, so you can, if you want to call in right now, there's a really good chance you'll get on the air. 888-914-9149. I said to producer Jim during the break, I said, "What's going on here? No one's calling here." And he said, "Well, they're all on their way to confession." I hope that's the case. If that's why you're not calling, you're in the car and you're already going to your local parish, then that's awesome. That's exactly where you need to be. But you can call in right now, 888-914-9149. 9149. You can also email the show, KLCALE at relevantradio.com, and follow me on Twitter at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. Now, I did tell you that I was going to share the good news side of the equation here, and that's what makes the gospel really good news, the fact that the situation is dire without Christ, and what he's done for us, it just stands out in ever sharper relief. So here's some things that Jesus told her, and this is recorded in St. Faustina's diary. That will really help us to appreciate God's love, his mercy, his desire to save. And so Pope Benedict once said this. He said that divine mercy is a central message for our time. Mercy as the force of God, as the divine limit against the evil of the world. End of quote. And boy, do we ever need that, especially when we consider the geopolitical situation. And there never has been a time in world history where everyone's been completely free of strife. And in our little pockets here and there, we may have times of peace, but there's always something happening somewhere. You know, like Bruce Springsteen sang about something happened somewhere, dancing in the dark. It wasn't about that, though, of course, as you know. Anyways, I'm really off track here, but mercy is the divine limit against the evil of the world. It's a little bit like what we talked about the other day when we had an episode entitled, Is God in the Hurricane? And as Hurricane Ian was ravaging Florida, we talked about the book of Job, the suffering of the innocent, and how in the book of Job, the enemy is portrayed, the Satan is portrayed as almost being a wild animal on a chain. He can only go so far. God will limit it with his mercy. And so here's a few things that Jesus said to St. Faustina that will hopefully give you peace and a desire to turn to that mercy, because that's what he wants. And he said this, quote, I desire that the feast of mercy be a refuge and shelter for all souls, and especially for poor sinners. On that day, the very depths of my tender mercy are open. I pour out a whole ocean of graces upon those souls who approach the fount of my mercy. The soul that will go to confession and receive Holy Communion shall obtain complete forgiveness of sins and punishment. On that day, all the divine floodgates through which grace flow are opened. Let no soul fear to draw near to me, even though its sins be as scarlet. End of quote. And that's from entry number 699 in St. Faustina's diary. And just as a sidebar note, this is a reference to, of course, the octave of divine mercy starts on of course, Easter Sunday, and the Sunday after Easter is Divine Mercy Sunday, which in a sense is in many ways the Yom Kippur, and our Jewish friends are celebrating Yom Kippur today, the Day of Atonement. This is kind of the Catholic Day of Atonement, if you will, one could say, the Divine Mercy Sunday. Now, we can obtain God's mercy at any point, of course, but these special promises that Christ gives on that particular day, and you can go to the confession before that Sunday itself, that's fine. And it'll still apply. Okay, here's another thing that Jesus said to her. And this should be pretty obvious. Jesus said, mankind will not have peace until it turns with trust to my mercy. And that's from number 300 in St. Faustina's diary. Mankind will not have peace until it turns with trust to my mercy. Or people kind, as Justin Trudeau would say. But anyways, let all mankind recognize my unfathomable mercy. It is a sign for the end times. After it will come the day of justice. That's from number 848. And here's another one along the same lines. Jesus says to St. Faustina, he who refuses to pass through the door of my mercy must pass through the door of my justice. End of quote. Whew, that is a powerful one. That one just kind of knocks you back a little bit. That's from number 1146 of St. Faustina's diary. Whoever refuses to pass through the door of my mercy must pass through the door of my justice. I know which door I want to go through, that open door of mercy. And this is the thing. God will never force anyone to go to his heaven. He's a gentleman lover. He extends his hand, but he's not going to force you to do it. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God, of course, is eternal life through Christ Jesus, as St. Paul writes about in his letter to the Romans. And so when we sin, we offend an all-holy, immortal God. We sin against ourselves, against others, and so there needs to be a reckoning. Justice requires it. Are you going to let Jesus pay for your sins, or you want to pay for them yourself? If you're bent on doing that, this is what Jesus is saying here. If you don't pass through the door of my mercy, you must pass through the door of my justice. But the choice is yours. The choice is yours. I'll read another couple here. Jesus says, souls perish in spite of my bitter passion. And that must be such a something that just breaks the heart of God. In spite of everything he has done for us, what more could he possibly do to show his love for you and me than allow his blood to drip into the sand and give his life on the cross? Souls perish in spite of my bitter passion. I'm giving them a last hope of salvation. That is the feast of my mercy. If they will not adore my mercy, they will perish for all eternity. He says, my heart overflows with great mercy for souls, and especially for poor sinners. If only they could understand that I am the best of fathers to them, and that it is for them that the blood and water flowed from my heart as from a fount overflowing with mercy. And that's from point number 367. The one I read before was from 965 of the diary. So that's the whole point of the rays emanating from the side of Christ. And speaking of that, he says this. This is at number 299 of the diary. He says, these rays shield souls from the wrath of my Father. Happy is the one who will dwell in their shelter, for the just hand of God shall not lay hold of him. I desire that the first Sunday after Easter be the feast of mercy. All right, let's go to the phones now. Anne is calling from Belleville, Ontario. Anne, you haven't been on the program in a while. It's great to hear from you.
Hi. Yeah, it's nice to be on the program again. Get your thoughts together, lady.
That's okay.
I'm talking to myself. We had a fire here in Belleville, Ontario, which I know you know well, that actually it looked like a little door of hell opened up. I guess about midnight, we heard an explosion, and we could see something in the distance, you know, burning merrily away, and things were getting kind of foggy. But we went to bed, but at about 3 a.m., Officer Friendly arrived at our doorstep in a hazmat suit and said, get out right now. You have no time. The air is toxic. Don't touch anything. Don't, as far as you can, don't step on anything black. Just leave. And so we did. And we were praying in the car, and really we saw what looked like it did look like hell, but we saw kindness in people helping other people, you know, elderly people, and that was really edifying. And also we saw God's mercy, because despite how terrible it could have been, nobody was hurt.
Wow.
And Environment Canada tells us that the all of the it looks like black snow, but in big or like black logs everywhere.
What caused the explosion, Anne? What was it that happened?
We don't know. Theories abound, from careless smoking to statements like anarchists.
But it was at some sort of a plant, a chemical plant or something? Or
no, it was just at the end of Bridge Street, east end of Belleville. That's where we live, and they're building further out east. And it was at a construction site, I believe, and it was skids full of styrofoam. And it went up and it blew up. Google it. Belleville, Ontario, Canada.
Explosion, yeah. And And that's the hometown of my parents. And yeah, so I've been there many, many, many times. And that's kind of an earthly, kind of relatable image that there is no time. And you can't get ready for it. We don't know the hour of our death. And so that's why it's really important to stay in a state of grace and to help others. As you mentioned, people helping each other to escape the disaster. This is exactly what we have to do with the people around us, with our family, with our friends. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Thank you very much for that call, Ann. If you want to call in, 888-914-9149. It's Feast Day of Divine Mercy. I just want to share with you a few other things that Jesus said in these private revelations, of course. And you don't have to buy into this to hold the Catholic faith, but we do know, of course, that St. Faustina was canonized as a saint. As you know, St. John Paul II had a huge devotion to her, and so have many other popes. And I think it was, if memory serves me correctly, there were, and this happens with a lot of saints, that there's often a lot of suspicion about whether or not they're really hearing from God, and they get persecuted a lot of the time. And her, this movement, which never really got going until after her death, because nobody knew, a lot of this was in her private correspondence with, which she shared with her spiritual director, Father Michael, who's also a well-known figure in this movement, obviously. But if memory serves me correctly, I think it was Pope John the 23rd, who was the Pope of the Second Vatican Council, who he was given a stack of paperwork, things that he had to attend to as Pope. One of the secretaries kind of put it down on his desk. These are the things that you have to make decisions about. Okay. So he took this huge stack of paper, and the first thing he did was he flipped it upside down. Why did he do that? Well, he thought, well, there's probably some things that people don't want me to get to for a while. They're kind of maybe going to try to hide it in the bottom of the pile. So I'm going to turn it over. So he started from the bottom, and I think one of the first things that came up, if not the very first thing, was the case of St. Faustina Kowalska, Divine Mercy. Was she really hearing from God? And if memory serves me correctly, and you can, if you know the story, you can correct me on this if I'm wrong, 888-914-9149. You can let me know. But, and then he said, oh, this is intriguing, and kind of got this thing opened up. So again, it is a private revelation, but we have some pretty good grounds to believe, to say the least, that St. Faustina was, in fact, hearing from our Lord. So here's a couple other things that he said to her in the diary. And this is from entry number 1075. Jesus speaking here, quote, "Souls who spread the honor of my mercy, I shield through their entire lives as a tender mother her infant. And at the hour of death, I will not be a judge for them, but the merciful Savior. At that last hour, a soul has nothing with which to defend itself except my mercy. Happy is the soul that during its lifetime immersed itself in the fountain of mercy, because justice will have no hold on it." End of quote. I like that, what Jesus said. At the hour of their death, I will not be a judge for them, but will be a merciful Savior. And it kind of reminds me of something that St. Jose Maria said once. He said to some of his friends, he said, yeah, on the day that you pass into eternity, Jesus will not be a harsh judge for you. He will simply be Jesus. He will simply be Jesus. And I'm paraphrasing him here, but it was something to that effect. And that's exactly what Jesus does and who he is. His name literally means God saves. It's Joshua in Hebrew, of course, a very common name at the time. There are other people named, a lot of other Jesuses at that time, but that's what that name means. God saves. He will save his people. He also says this, quote, "I promise that the soul that will venerate this image will not perish. I also promise victory over its enemies already here on earth, especially at the hour of death. I myself will defend it as my own glory." End of quote. That's from number 48 in the diary. So this idea that the hour of death, that's the last battle, where it's said by many spiritual writers that that's where the enemy is going to try to trip you up one last time, whether they're getting you to give in to despair or something like that, because that's his last shot at it. Because, you know, once we're dead, our eternal, whatever the state of our soul is at death, that's it. We can't change it. It's fixed. So it's important to be in God's friendship, to die in a state of grace. And so that last grace that we need most of all is the grace of final perseverance. And that's what Jesus will help us with there. So that's it. He says, tell people, my daughter, that I am love and mercy itself. When a soul approaches me with trust, I fill it with such an abundance of graces that it cannot contain them within itself, but radiates them to other souls. End of quote. That's diary number 1074. So that's it. I love that. When a soul approaches me with trust, says Jesus, I fill it with such an abundance of graces it cannot contain them, but radiates them to other souls. Can't help but share it. And so this is it. We have to approach Jesus with trust. That's why the signature tagline in the image was to be Jesus, I trust in you. And as I've said many times, sometimes I give into anxiety and I worry about stuff. And Father Rocky tells me it's because I'm Irish. I don't know. But having said that, you know, my wife's always telling me, just you need to stop worrying. You know, just worry is kind of a sin in a certain sense. Jesus commands us not to do it. Why do you worry? Why do you worry about tomorrow? Why do you worry about this, that, the other thing? God will provide. But we have to pray this prayer. Jesus, I trust in you. Just turn it over to the Lord, whatever it might be. Jesus, I trust in you. Because as he says in another place, what wounds me the most, Jesus says, what wounds me the most are sins of mistrust. When my people don't trust me, they think I'm not trustworthy. He's looking out for us. And so that must wound his sacred heart. There's no question about it. So lots we can learn from St. Faustina, from the diary. Divine Mercy Chaplet, of course, we pray it every day during the Drew Mariani Show at 3 p.m. Central right here on Relevant Radio. And it's always a high point. It's always a high point. And it's such a beautiful, beautiful prayer that we should all really redouble our efforts to get into it, myself included, myself included. We got to take a quick break here on Relevant Radio on the Cale Clark Show. We'll be right back. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. I'd love to hear from you. The Catholic Order of Foresters, the sponsor of our studio's line, is hiring today. Several positions are available throughout the United States. Visit relevantradio.com/forester to learn more about how you can find your vocation with Catholic Order of Foresters, an Illinois Life Insurance Society, not licensed in all states.
Explaining the faith so you can explain it to others. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Hey, welcome back to the show. It's our final segment here. You can get in right now, grab a vine, give me a call, talk to me. 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. You can also tweet at me, of course, at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. I like that song, Sky Full of Stars by Coldplay. By the way, I wanted to just give you a little flavor for the Day of Atonement. Of course, it's very intriguing to me that it falls on the feast day of St. Faustina. Lucas Holt had texted me that today. He's like, wow. I was like, yeah, great point, Lucas. I should mention that. And the Day of Atonement, also known as Yom Kippur, the rabbis used to teach that there were 40 days of penance that the Jews would kind of undergo leading up to the Day of Atonement. And that kind of is linked with the 40 days that Moses was up on Mount Sinai before he came down with the second set of Ten Commandments. Because don't forget, Moses got so angry when he saw the sins of the people, the all kinds of debauchery that was being committed, the golden calf, that he chucked the tablets. He broke them. He shattered them. So God had to give him the backup set, if you will. And by the way, we're studying the book of Exodus on the Faith Explained show every day at 12:30 Central right here on Relevant Radio. We're exploring that together. And man, is it ever fun. It's a book I've wanted to do for a really, really long time. So if you want to get in on that, you can always binge listen the episodes that you missed. Go to the Faith Explained page on relevantradio.com where it says our shows. Just pick the Faith Explained. You can get all the back episodes or get them through podcast on the Relevant Radio app and relevantradio.com. And so Moses was up on the mountain for 40 days. He comes back with the new set of the Ten Commandments. And the very fact that God actually was willing to do that, that's a sign of forgiveness right there. A lot of writers have noted that through the years, that this is a picture of forgiveness, that God is going to give them a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance. This is what God does. And so, as you know, when you read the New Testament, when you read the letter of the Hebrews, And we don't know who wrote it. The church used to say that St. Paul wrote it for sure, but they've kind of dropped that now. Might have been a disciple of Paul. We're not quite sure, but in Hebrews chapter 9, if you read chapters 11 and 12, we actually did that book at one point on the Faith Explained show. It talks about how the high priest on the Day of Atonement goes into the Holy of Holies in the temple where God's presence was. Only the high priest could do it. He only goes in there once a year, but he doesn't go in. He doesn't dare go in without taking blood, the blood of the sacrifices, and he offers that for the people, for their sins, and also for his own. But in Hebrews, it says this, when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy place, taking not the blood of goats and calves, but his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. And that's what our great high priest Jesus did for us. And so you could really say that Good Friday is really the Day of Atonement for us as Catholics, where Jesus made that ultimate sacrifice. But that Divine Mercy Sunday is almost where we can tap into it in a really special way. And of course, God's mercy is available to us 24/7, 365. But in that special way, those unique promises that Jesus gives when the ocean of his mercy is opened up, especially on Divine Mercy Sunday, that's really what St. Faustina wanted to share and what God called her to do. So it's her feast day. So St. Faustina, please, please pray for us. We need it. We absolutely need it. Well, as you know by now, we talked about the beautiful story that ensued with a home run catch. We talked about this a few days ago. Two families became united in a really heartwarming moment earlier this year. Well, Aaron Judge finally did last night break the American League record set by Roger Maris, and he hit his 62nd home run against the Texas Rangers last night. Here is some audio of the call. There it was. That was Michael Kay on the YES Network, the Yankees Network, calling the action there, that historic moment. As you probably know, the ball was caught by, Frankie Lasagna wasn't there, but Corey Humans was there, who actually caught the ball, and I hope I'm pronouncing his last name right, and a Dallas resident. And this is a case where life doesn't exactly seem fair, but catching these home run balls comes with its share of problems as well. You might say these are good problems to have, but he's married to, this is a crazy story. He's married to a woman named Bree Amaranthus, who is a sports reporter who covers the Dallas Cowboys, the Dallas Mavericks, former contestant on The Bachelor, apparently. And she's now married to the, so she tweeted out this, I thought it was a joke. She tweeted this out last night. This is my husband. And there was a video of him being whisked away by, security. Texas Rangers security. He had the home run ball. We don't know what he's going to do with it. He's been offered at least, I think, $2 million for the ball. We'll see what he does. But apparently he doesn't need the cash because he's very, very high up with Fisher Investments. And Fisher Investments is a pretty successful firm. Now, just because he's a vice president there doesn't mean he's necessarily raking it in, these $197 billion that this company is worth. But he's probably not doing too bad. So at any rate, I'm open if you want to pass me the ball, Corey. I don't think he will, but we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But I do think this is the legit home run record, and producer Jim agrees with me. He is a Cardinals fan, but we have to admit, even the ex-Cardinal Mark McGwire, who had passed the old Roger Maris record as well, with a little bit of help, shall we say, Sammy Sosa, Barry Bonds, who actually holds the record with 73, they had some artificial help. A lot of people are saying this number 62 is now the legit record in their minds. And the home run record is one of those things where I bet you $1 million. Nobody listening to me right now, I shouldn't be betting $1 million unless he gives me the ball. But but nobody could tell me what is the record for rushing yardage in the National Football League. Do you know that number off the top of your head? No, you don't. But most people know the home run record. It's very embedded in the culture. And so hopefully this will straighten things out. Eventually this will be recognized as the legit record. A lot of people want to say that Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, even Barry Bonds, they restored the game with their home run. I don't think they did. I think it was the actual opposite. I think that they kind of ruined the game, because once this got exposed, well, now it's a mess that you have to clean up. And at any rate, it is the postseason. We've arrived almost at that time. My Toronto Blue Jays are playing the Seattle Mariners in the wild card round. So going to take off, I think. The Jays, they will fly in this postseason. Well, this hour has flown by, that is for sure, on the Cale Clark Show. Thank you for joining me today. Timmy's up next, followed by the family Rosie Across America. Brooke Taylor sitting in for Timmy. She's got some good guests, including a surprise guest. Stick around. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.